But today we need to look at one of the gotchas of feedback. There are actually a bunch more advantages and actually no more disadvantages to feedback, but there's a bunch more advantages that, I didn't tell you about last time, partly because there was a bunch of Academy kids in here and I didn't want to make things too terribly hard for them to understand. So you guys got chipped a little bit. But, I mean, maybe it was easier for you too. I don't know. today we need to kind of jump a little bit further ahead in the feedback chapter and look at some things that the Academy kids wouldn't have been able to understand for sure. And that's the stability of things. So let me just remind you what the feedback block diagram looks like. And for stability, we really need to think in terms of either differential equations or Laplace transforms or phasors or something. Okay, we can't just think that everything is a constant multiplier like we were doing kind of last day in class, because if everything was just a constant multiplier, we would never have to worry about instability. Okay. I mean, except if you actually did it on purpose, like doing positive feedback, right? But and what happens in real life is that there are phase delays, and those phase delays can cause instability or oscillation. And sometimes we actually want oscillation. Like, for example, if you're building an oscillator. But when we're doing amplifiers, we don't want oscillation. So let me just kind of and sometimes they call this error thing, sometimes they call it XI for the input to your present amplifier. That's in the book. Right, XI. I, in some ways, I like to think of it, it's the error signal. I mean, you could call it XI, but still think of it as the error signal. Okay, it's the thing that we're driving to zero. Well, what I'd like to do is think in a very simple way about how we could have an oscillation in this device due to a phase delay. Okay? So, what I'd like to do is I'd like to just kind of make a little graph here. Well, maybe I need to make a bigger graph and do it in several colors so you can see what happens here. I'll make a bigger one here. This is T, the time axis. And I think I got my good pen stored over here still. Yeah, all kinds of colors. What a great deal this is going to be. Okay. So what we want to do is that the thing that's liable to oscillate here is the loop, okay? Oscillations can occur even when you don't have any input. So I'm going to kind of ignore XS for now. So what I mean by that is I'm going to assume XS equals zero, okay? Now, if it's not zero, that's not a big deal, okay? But or maybe I shouldn't just assume XS is zero, but maybe assume, I don't know, it doesn't really matter whether you have XS in there or not, because there's always a noise that happens. And maybe I should we'll just not say anything about XS, and we'll just say, look, what happens, I'm going to make this XE of T, and I'll make it a sine wave. Okay, so here it is. Okay, there's XE of T. Okay. Now, XO of T, or actually, I don't really need to write XO of T, but, you know, what happens is when I get around to XF of T, if, you know, XE of T goes through A, right, which is amplified, and whenever you put into a sine wave into a linear system, what happens? Well, if it's a linear system, it makes the sine wave bigger or smaller, right? In this case, hopefully bigger, because this guy's got a lot of gains, hopefully, if our feedback system is good. Anyway, if it's going to make the thing bigger or smaller, and it will just make a phase delay, right? You remember that from phasers. You know, you put a phaser in, you get a phaser out, and the phaser out is just, magnitude and angle, it's a sine wave as well, right? So that's a property of linear time invariant systems. You put a sine wave in, you get a sine wave out. So if we do that, I'd like to look at xf of t, okay? And it's really a times beta, right? So we could write over here, xf of s is equal to a of s beta of s times x I of S or XE of S, whatever you want to call it. Maybe I should call it XE since I've been using that over here. Well, it's just going to be this times this, and then that gets multiplied by minus 1 and added. You know, maybe it becomes XE again if XS was there, right? Does that make sense? Is that okay? I mean, I got A to give me X out times beta is XF, right? And then I'm going to subtract that from xs to give me xe again, right? And if xs was 0, I'm just going to invert it, and then it becomes e, right? So what I'd like to do is just suppose that, when you get your thing, it's going to be delayed. So this little size cycle is going to kind of move over this direction, and it's going to get bigger, right? Maybe not. Well, actually, it's probably going to get a lot bigger, but I'm not going to draw it that much bigger. So I'm kind of going to start maybe here, I don't know, and make it like this, right? So, this point right here moved to that point right there. It's a delay, right? Does that make sense? Okay, now if you think about this, suppose XS wasn't there, or even if XS is there, you could kind of think of what's going to happen. This dude right here, which is XF of T is going to get subtracted from whatever here, maybe 0 or whatever. And if you subtract that, when you subtract it, it upside downs the thing, right? What did that do? It looks very similar to what I put in, right? Mm-hmm. And what's that going to do? Well, it's going to go back around the loop, and it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, right? Does that make sense? That's problems. It's going to oscillate at this frequency. At whatever frequency, you get this 180-degree phase shift. Notice I drew a 180-degree phase shift. If the red thing is bigger than the black thing, at the frequency which you get a 180-degree phase shift, you're toast, right? And that is really that's the oscillation criterion, or called Barkhausen criterion. Okay, so let's write this down. Oscillation occurs where A of J omega is beta of J omega, and maybe what I want to say, the angle of that equals, basically it's a phase delay, so it's minus 180 degrees, right? And that equals minus 180 degrees. Then if where that happens, the magnitude of A of J omega, that special omega, times beta of J omega is greater than or equal to 1. Okay, so that happens there. The oscillation as it, maybe I'll make this omega 0 or something. So you see it's a special omega, right? The frequency of oscillation is this is called the Barkhausen criterion. So this is liable to happen to you if somebody hasn't come along to give you a break and to try and make it so that this doesn't happen when you buy an op amp, right? I mean, because every op amp is going to have some A of S, and you're going to put on some beta network. If your beta network is purely resistive, of course, then it doesn't have any function of S here, right? But it's pretty hard to make one that's purely resistive because there's always stray capacitance and inductance and all that kind of stuff, right? So, you know, at some frequency, you're going to have, you know, some poles. And it's these poles that give you a phase delay, right? I mean, you remember this from LNA? I mean, did everybody here have LNA? You all had to suffer there, right? You're taking it. So you're probably the most familiar with this. You had to do Bode plots?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. So you remember doing Bode plots. Basically, Bode plots of A times beta is what you need to look at, right? To determine it when this thing happens. So what we want to do is, you know, we want to take a Bode plot of A times beta, right? And we need to look at that and see when does the phase go through 180 degrees. That's a very special point. And what is the gain, A times beta, at that point? So maybe we ought to do an example or something. Let's just do an example here. Maybe you want me to cook one up, or do you want to do one like was on an old exam? I could find you one off an old exam if you'd like. You like the old exam better than the one I just cook up? Okay, so we'll go grab an old exam and just look at an example off an old exam. Okay. So this is electronics. And what I need is this. And here's some exams. This would have probably been like, might have been a big exam one, 357 sometime, I don't know, or it might have been the end of 356. Probably 356. 356, we need a final exam. Final exam, here we go. Okay. Well, not on that one. Let's try another one. No, not on that one. Let's try another one. Oh, this looks similar to last one. Let's see, 2000 op amp problems, a tube problem. I think with a tube problem, you probably didn't have it on that one. Let's check this one, 2001. No, it's not there. 2003. Okay, I don't care, read only. No, that's not good. 2005. No. Man, this is harder to find than I thought. It seems like this. Maybe I need to go more recently here. 2000. I need finals. DEF. There's 2010. Seems like recently. It might have been in 357.
that when did we do this? Let's look at here. Let's look at final exam for 350. Smith charge. Here's some. This is too much to find here. Oh, that's 2,000. Well, this is 357. I don't know. Maybe it won't be easy to find. Oh, here we go. Here's one. Okay. I don't know whether we can read this thing or not. Move this out. Maybe it'll make it more readable. That A1 must be something else, like a times or something. Times 10 to the... Yeah, A must be times or something.
Yeah.
See, this is S plus 2 pi times... Well, A would be times 6e10. I think the A is like a times. So 6 times 10 to the 7th or something, right? Okay. So, what did I do with my pen? Here we go. So, example here. So, suppose we have A of S is this. Actually... You know, it actually makes it easy because it actually did the Bode plot for me. I won't have to go do the Bode plot. So A of S, suppose A of S was, I think that's probably 2 pi, I'm going to guess it's 2 pi to the third. And then 1.9... 2 times 10 to the 25th.
So an A is times?
I think so. I'm guessing because it's... And then we have on the bottom S plus 2 pi times... What? I'm not sure. I'm just kind of guessing. Because why would I have 2 to the 3rd and there's kind of a blank there, right?
Yeah.
It seems like it's... I would have said 2 pi to the 3rd because then I... But I don't know. We'll see. We'll find out. We'll double check our thing. 2 pi, what does that say? 2 pi, 6 times 10 to the 7th? 6. It's probably a dot. 6 times 10 to the 7th, right? Times 10 to the 7th. And then I have S. There's 2 pi times what? 4 times 10 to the 7th, and then S plus 8 times 10 to the 7th.
Yeah.
I think it's a B. I think it's an 8.
It's like an 8 on the bottom.
Yeah, a B. I wouldn't know what a B was. I think an A might be a point or something like this. Yeah, well. No, what happened was I used to use WordPerfect on Macintosh, and so I converted all those files over to OpenOffice or doc files. I think these are doc files, and it, you know. That was, you know, from those days it was much harder to find conversion. People had more issues converting word processor files to something else. I probably should have gone into, I have another folder where I converted them all to PDF. PDF looked good, but it wasn't editable. So I should have went into that because we didn't need to edit this. I just grabbed the wrong folder, the folder full of old stuff that had
But anyway, I think this is right. We'll find out. So here's what it says. Your job is to provide dominant pole compensation. This is by adding a dominant pole for this. But before we do that, let's just take this thing and let's see what would happen here in this situation and see whether it would oscillate. Okay, it probably does because it says you need to compensate it. That means you need to fix it. Okay. So below is a Bode plot of the transfer function of A of S for your convenience. Okay. So a compensation show a Bode plot. Show a schematic of your compensation network designed for an approximate gain margin in 0 dB closed loop gain configuration of 30 dB. Okay, so we need to think about, to do this problem, we need to think about several things. We haven't got some definitions of gain margin and phase margin, but we can kind of work those up as we do this. And we need to think about the situation over here. And I want to know when this thing is more likely to oscillate, okay? Is it more likely to oscillate when the gain of this whole thing after feedback is large or if it's small? And I'm going to adjust the gain, of course, by changing beta, right? I have the A over there. That's the A. And I want to know, is it going to be more likely to oscillate when I make this whole system right here, this thing right here after feedback, when I make that have a large gain or when I make it have a small gain? Okay, Dane says large gain. Let's take a poll here. You know, you get a 50-50 chance, right? You can vote one way or the other. Think about it. Do you want a large gain for this, for what I'm talking about after feedback is A of S over 1 plus beta A of S? You know, if I make that large, is it gonna be more likely to oscillate, or is it going to be when I make this small, it's more likely to oscillate? So that's what I want to know. When is it more likely to oscillate? When this function right here is large or small? Okay, so we got two votes for large, right? Shall we? Oh, wait, there's a couple people for small, so it's two for large and two for small. It's 50-50, guys. Are you going for large or small? Yeah, you and Greg are large. Okay, wait, Daniel wants what?
An explanation of how it works, that I vote.
Okay, well, here it is. Okay, it's just right here. It's like this. If this red thing right here is big enough at the frequency where the phase delay is 180, I'm going to oscillate. We agree on that, right? That means if beta A is big enough, magnitude of beta A is big enough, then at the frequency at which this is, there's a delay of 180 degrees, it's going to oscillate, right? If it's small, if this guy was like this big, if the red thing was this big, it would die out after a while, okay? Does that make sense? So there's your explanation. Does that help?
Small.
Oh, I got four more people said small. Oh, no, wait. It's more likely to oscillate when it's small? When this thing is small?
They say it's less.
These guys are mathematical, I think, right? They're looking at this thing mathematically, right? They're saying, well, if I make beta A big, it makes that thing small, right? It's really beta that makes the difference, right? This is actually approximately, remember, this is approximately 1 over beta, right? So the idea is, do I want beta large or beta small to make this thing more likely to oscillate? I want beta large to make it more likely to oscillate, which makes this small, right? Now, this is counterintuitive. This is counterintuitive, and so those of you who voted the other way, don't feel bad because you kind of quickly voted like that. And I remember doing the same thing, okay? And we didn't have a vote back then, but here's what I was doing. I was playing around with an op amp. I don't remember what kind of an op amp it was, but I was playing around with some kind of op amp, and I thought, well, you know, the most unlikely circuit to oscillate is going to be the simplest thing, and it's going to have low gain. And the reason why I wanted the simplest thing, it would be, you know, this amplifier we had here, right? Here we got, there's the amplifier. I'm just going to, remember we had a resistor here, a voltage divider here, right? And it went back in. Well, if I make that voltage divider like this, this is minus and that's plus, like that, then V in here equals V out, right? The gain of that circuit is 1. So I said to myself, that's the least likely to oscillate because it's such a simple circuit, you know, and I was dead wrong. This is the most likely to oscillate because this has the biggest beta. The beta here is 1, right? Do you see that? It's not the overall gain after feedback that's important. It's the loop gain. Now, the reason most people like me and whoever else voted for that probably would think that you want big gain makes it oscillate, they're thinking about the college church or the university church, right? Well, when you turn the gain up on the board, what happens? Woo! You know, it oscillates, right? But what are you doing there? You are changing the beta or the A, right? You're not changing the gain after feedback. You are changing the loop gain, right? So it's a large loop gain that you want from B to A, basically, right? Does that make sense? So what that means is the amplifier that you guys made last week in lab, you didn't put any feedback on it, right? That means it's not likely to oscillate because you didn't put any feedback on it, right? But in order to make it linear, we're going to want to put feedback on it. Right? And that's what's going to make it more likely to oscillate. And the more you lower that gain of 30,000 or whatever you had down to, you know, 10 or you know, 1, whatever, the lower you go, the more likely it is to oscillate. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay, hopefully I've all convinced you to vote for, you know, more loop gain makes it oscillate. More loop gain makes the regular gain lower, okay, the gain after feedback. Okay, so what I'd like to do is I'd like to look at this transfer function and see what the Bode plot looks like in the case where beta is the worst that I could imagine, okay? So worst case beta, what is worst case beta? Worst case beta is what?
1.
Yeah, worst case beta equals 1. And really the reason that is because you wouldn't make beta bigger than 1 because then you'd actually have an amplifier after feedback with a gain of less than 1, right? And if you're going to do that, just use a resistors, okay? Does that make sense? So worst case beta would be 1. And so then that means worst case A times beta is just A, right? So that implies worst case A of S, beta of S equals just A of S, right? Okay, so let's do a Bode plot of this thing, and we'll check and see. Now, this is how we'll know whether we got the right guesses on those funny businesses. We'll just do the Bode plot, okay? Okay, so we go to Octave or MATLAB, whatever you like. And you can do help Bode if you want. And I'm just going to, oh man, this is kind of hard to read here. I wonder if it's because it's too big. Control minus, does that work? No, it doesn't, okay. Okay, so it might be better to help sys. I've forgotten.
It's just a variable. It's your system.
Right, yeah. What is it? System? Help system? What do you guys remember what the thing is? I'm forgetting my stuff here. I know you used to be able to do numerator, denominator, but then they changed it.
Is it CPA?
Yeah, that's probably what you do. Here, we'll just go. Right.
Is there a TF in there?
There is. You can't say what.
Yeah, TF, that's right. Help TF.
You can say S equals TF with S and apostrophe. So
if I can't type. TF. Okay, here we go. Numerator, denominator, that's what I want. So quit S. Well, I could do it that way. I guess we could do it that way. So we do S equals TF of quotes S, right? And then A equals, okay, what was it? 2 pi cubed? 2 times, oops, times pi raised to the 3 times what?
1.92.
Okay. E25 divide by, and then S plus 2 times pi times what?
6e7
and then times S plus 2 times pi times what's the next one? 4e7 times S plus 2 times pi times what's the last one?
8 times 77.
Yeah, around the whole business. Whoops. What happened? Hello, where am I? Oh no. I don't know. It must be. I need to put one in right here, but this is looking weird. I don't know. You think it worked? So let's do Bode of this. I'm just wondering what. Oh, it looks like it put a. Okay, yeah, I got that. Okay. Okay, so Bode of what? What did I call that? A? Okay, cool. So that worked. Okay, so let's make this a little bigger here. So here we go. Let's look right here. We're looking down here, right? Why are we looking down here? We're looking for the place that goes through 180. That's right here, right? So this is about, oh, well, let's see. This is 1E8, 2E8, 3E8, 4E8, 5E8, somewhere around 5E8. And then I go up here to that same frequency, and the magnitude is greater than 0 dB, right? 0 dB would be 1, wouldn't it? So we're going to oscillate. Does that make sense? Okay. So now we need to think about how could we make a system that won't oscillate? What's with this thing right here? The reason it oscillates is because when you go around the loop, there are 3 poles in this case, right? Each pole asymptotically gives you 90 degrees, right? Does that make sense? Each time you have a pole, it moves you over 90 degrees, right? So the phase delay ultimately here is going toward 270, right? 3 times 90. Does that make sense? So that is one way we could make this happen is if it never delayed that much, right? Now, we really can never make it so it never delays that much because there are always parasitic poles that will be there, you know, at higher frequencies. There is no way because, you know, every tiny capacitance does that. So, but what we could do is we could, if we put a pole
way back here, somewhere back here, okay? What would that do? It would make this drop at 20 dB per decade, right? And if this dropped at 20 dB per decade until it got below 0 dB here, right? And then these guys, these poles over here that started making it come down, you know, the ones higher, right? Then they started, of course, making, you know, the phase come down much further. But it wouldn't matter then, right? Does that make sense? Yeah, if it's once it's below zero, I don't care, right? The problem is that over here, where this went through 180, somewhere right in here, this guy was above 0 dB, right? So there is, you know, if we could get this below 0 dB at the place where this goes through 180, then we would have a little bit of what we call gain margin. In other words, there would be a little bit of gain that you could make this thing louder by that much before it started oscillating, okay? Or another way of looking at it is where this thing goes through 0 dB right here, if I still had a little phase left before it went down to 180, I'd have that much phase margin. So those are two things that we you know, we could do. And so that's actually what people do. They put a pole on purpose way back here somewhere, right? So that any Emmy or any, you know, doubly who's not paying attention, right, can take that op amp and put some resistors in there, and it will still work. It won't oscillate. Does that make sense? Now, what is that's the advantage of doing this. What is the what do you pay? What is the disadvantage of doing that? Yeah, but we only lower the gain over here in this part of the region, right? Because it'll be flat here, and then it'll start coming down wherever I put that pole, right? So the gain will still be good at low frequencies, right? Well, it'll be a flat frequency response when I put in feedback, but what happens is it's going to knock off the high frequencies because it's going to come down like this, and if you don't have any gain to give at a high frequency, right, then you're not going to get the benefits of feedback, right? You know, if your original amplifier doesn't amplify, you put it in a feedback configuration and you're using negative feedback, it's not going to give you any gain. I mean, you can't get more than you had to pay to begin with, right? And so what this does is it makes op amps in general, at least in the old days, they only worked at low frequencies, like audio. I mean, when I was a student, there weren't any op amps that worked beyond audio. And you could buy op amps without compensation, and therefore, what could you do? Well, you know, an op amp, if you're going to sell an op amp and you're a manufacturer, you're going to make it compensated down to the worst case, beta equals one, right? But if you're an engineer and you're compensating your own op amp, right, you could get more bandwidth out of this thing by saying, look, I'm not going to run this at a gain of one. I want a gain of 20 dB or something. You know, I want a gain of 10 or a gain of 100 or something. And if you do that, then you don't have to put that pole back here so far because you don't have to bring it down as far because the beta, if you're making your gain of, say, 20 dB, then basically that's like the beta is going to lower this. When you multiply A by beta, it'll lower that 40, will be down here at 20, right? And so you only have to bring it down 20 dB instead of 40 dB to get to 0 dB, right? Which means that you could move that pole out further, which means that you could have a higher frequency response. Now, nowadays, there are op amps that work up to, you know, like 100 megahertz, or maybe even a little bit higher than that, right? But that's only, you know, it's taken, you know, 25 or 30 years to do that. You know, and then, you know, look at all the other things that have happened in that time. So if we look at this problem now, let's see if we could do this problem. Well, first of all, let's see whether we guessed the right numbers. So if I go back to the picture here, so here's the thing.
It looks like it starts dropping off at about 10 to the fourth here, and it went up to about 40 dB, right? So let's look at the other thing. So it starts dropping off at about... Is that what I had on the other? I just can't read it. Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can't read it. It's 10 to the 8th here, yeah, okay. So this is dropping off, and it looks like, yeah, it looks like we probably got... yeah, I think it's probably right. I think we probably guessed it, because the 40 dB here, that would have been what was a bit messed up, right? It also might have messed up these kind of guys, but I think we must have got it, okay? So that means, you know, we could just use the ones on the exam if we wanted to. So let's just use the ones on the exam, okay? So what did it say we wanted to do here? Maybe let's make it easy to begin with, okay? Let's compensate this for beta equals 1, okay? So the example... The example is unstable, right? Will oscillate at what? At what frequency? Well, let's see, 180 right here. About 10 to the 9th. About. Omega equals 10 to the 9th radians per second. Okay? Something like that. You divide that by 6, you know, it's going to be some 100 megahertz somewhere in there. Okay, so fix this, right? So we're going to add a pole. Let's add a pole.
Is there no way to just do a proportional compensator in the circuit?
Well, that is what we're doing. I mean, we're adding a circuit here, which is going to have a pole back here somewhere. I mean, there are other things you can do. You can add zeros and things like that too, right? The initial gain down. Well, yeah, you could do that basically, for example, you could do that easily by saying I want an amplifier with a higher gain after feedback, right? That would be one way. Or, you know, you could put an attenuator at the beginning of the thing. But then remember what we discovered yesterday, our linearity got better by 1 plus beta A, right? And if we make A small, then we've lost our benefits of feedback. So we'd really like to keep A large, at least, you know, maybe where we're going to use this down in the audio range or something, okay? So this is usually what they do is they put a pole on here, and we're going to have to figure out, we're going to put a pole on, an extra pole. It's going to be a low-frequency pole. And basically what we're going to do is we're going to add a pole to make this look like it's a dominantly first-order system. A first-order system cannot oscillate, right? Because a first-order system will only have 90 degrees phase shift. It will never get to a place like this, right? So add a pole to make this a dominantly first-order system. Okay, so now we got to think about, we're going to add this pole. What's it going to do? It's going to make it come down at 20 dB per decade. You all remember that? Does that make sense? 20 dB per decade per pole. And when I add the pole, what's the phase going to do? At the omega zero, suppose my pole was right here. Down here, adding that pole, it's going to make it down by 45 degrees here, right? And it's going to asymptotically approach 90, right? So if I add the pole back here, over here, where it's going to be going through 0 dB, it's probably going to have approximately 90 degrees extra phase down here, right? Does that make sense? So let's just kind of play with this a little bit and see what would happen.
So if I add it over here, if I'm adding an extra 90 degrees, 90 degrees is this much, okay? So I'm putting my fingers on here. They're my calibrated thing. I'm just following that down. 90 degrees, you know, it's going 90 degrees down below that. Oop, right about here. Right about, let's see, do this again. Right about here, where that goes through 90 degrees, then this thing would be going through 180, right? So somewhere right about in here, at this frequency, I need the thing to be at least 0 dB up there, right? So if I want to compensate this thing, so right at the point where it oscillates, I would want this thing to be 0 dB here, right? I would, right where this guy went through 90, this guy would go through 0 dB, okay? But I think what I'd like to do is give myself about 45 degrees extra phase margin so it's not going to oscillate, okay? So let's just write that in our problem description here. Go for 45 degrees phase margin. Now, if I go for 45 degrees phase margin, then what will that mean? Well, that means I want where this thing goes through not 180, but where it goes through 90 plus 45, whatever that is, right? 135. So 135 is probably about right here, right? Except I got to move 90 up from that. So that would be right about here. This is where it's going through about 45 here, right? And I'm going to add another 90, which would give me here, and then I got 45 degrees left, right? So I'm going to go right here. I'm going to say this is where I want it to go through 0 dB. So that's right there, right? Now I'm going to project back at 20 dB per decade, okay? So that's 40 dB for two decades, right? And these are two decades, 10 to the 4th, 10 to the 6th, 10 to the 8th, right? So if I go 40 dB in that two decades, that would go right smack to there, right? So I want to put my pole right here at 10 to the 6th. So add your pole at 10 to the 6th. This implies the pole needs to be at 10 to the 6th radians per second. Do you guys see that? Does that make sense? Okay, let's do that again, okay? I decided I wanted 45 degrees phase margin. That means where this thing is finally going to go through 0 dB, which I'm going to say is going to be right here, I'm going to get 45 degrees phase margin. Well, I've got 45 degrees down here with the present system. When I add the pole, that will add another 90. That will put me right down here. And that gives me another 45 degrees before I hit this magical 180 right here. This is the 45 degrees extra phase margin. Okay? So that means this is the point I want to go through 0 dB, right? Now, if I start back here at this point right here, that's 40 dB up, right? And if I want to drop 20 dB in each decade. So each of these, this is a decade right here. So I've got 20 dB there and another 20 dB there. That hits right there. That means this is the point I want the pole. That's the corner frequency. That's 10 to the 6th radians per second. Is that okay? Okay, now Daniel, did you get that? What about you, Daniel? Did you get that? Kind of? Maybe? Okay, let's look at this again. Remember, our pole back here is going to add another 90 degrees phase margin to this because it asymptotically adds 90 degrees. So when I'm looking out here, this whole picture is going to be down by 90 degrees from where it is. So it's going to be down like this, right? I mean, it's going to be 90 degrees below whatever that line is right there. 90 degrees is this much. So it's going to be right there at this point. That gives me another 45 degrees. That's this much right here above this terrible number minus 180 where it flips around. It looks backwards from the thing right there. So that would be good. That's what I was shooting for, 45 degrees. I wanted 45 degrees phase margin. I wanted that much. So if I made it go right through 180 here, it would oscillate, right? So I wanted 45 degrees of error prone, you know, of you know, just kind of wiggle room there. So that means that if I start from right here and I go back at 20 dB per decade, I just keep going back and here, this is the slope with 20 dB per decade. It hits right there. So that's the corner frequency. Makes that 10 to the 6th what I want the corner at. And then next day, we'll look at how in the world we can do that. How do we add a pole? Should be pretty easy, actually. Does this make sense? Hopefully. Yeah.
Okay, phone, what are you doing?